Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith Hofert here, Pensacola Business Radio, broadcasting live at DeVille Square. I have some great guests in my studio today. I have Mr. Kevin Green from The Butcher Shop. Say hello.
Hello.
I was hoping you'd bring me a steak, to be absolutely honest. And I have Angela Barbary from Escambia County School District Fine Arts. That's a mouthful.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming, both of you. And then we have Kim, who's going to be our silent advisory board over here, but you can let everybody know you're here.
Hi, good afternoon.
All right. So, Kevin, let's get into it, man, because you're a dying breed.
Sure.
You know, pull your mic a little closer to you. I don't know too many towns that have a full-on butcher shop anymore. So I just want to know how you got into this and how it's been able to stick so long.
Sure. About 9 years ago, we looked at some of the changes in the industry, some of the larger competitors going to pre-pack, pre-cut, and just really saw that the quality overall had gone down. And even though the trend was not to go back, we saw a great need for a throwback to a time where the quality of the product was better. And in particular, you had a lot more service, a lot more one-to-one service.
Sure.
Kind of like we all grew up with. And we just looked at the business model, felt strongly about it, and jumped in with both feet.
Yeah. And well, and you guys, so you custom cut pretty much anything you need, right?
We do. We cut fresh every day, obviously. We have a case that people come in and buy from, but invariably we can cut any thickness or thinness from the minute we open to the minute we close, as opposed to a grocery store that may have store hours and then their department hours don't match up. The meat department may open 2 hours after the store opens.
That guy's gone already.
Yeah, exactly. We have a trained butcher on duty from the minute we open to the minute we close.
Yeah. So, what if I brought my own stuff in? Do you guys do that?
We do. If you brought your own meat in that's USDA inspected, we can cut it at any time.
No wild game though, huh?
No, we do process wild game. It's just legally we have to do it after hours.
Sure.
So even if it's a wild pig, we process a lot of deer during this time of year.
I was gonna say let's face it. There's a lot of hunters down here.
There are. And our only requirements is that it's field dressed.
Yeah.
Skin quartered in a nice chest, and then we process it after hours.
Yeah, and you'll cut it however they want it, huh?
Sure, sure.
Or however they don't know that they want it yet, right?
Right. We leave it up to them. A lot of the large processors have their own program.
Sure.
And we let the customer decide.
Yeah.
Because you may want your hamburger meat a lot leaner than the next guy. So we'll give you recommendations, but ultimately you tell us how you want it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I have been, prior to this life, a chef for 20-something years. And even growing up in cities and stuff, and of course I have Italian side on one side of the family, and French and German and Native American on the other. So one, there was tons of food all the time, but it was the subscription of you went to the butcher to get your meat, you went to the produce market to get your produce, and so on and so forth. And these days everything comes on one truck, right?
Sure.
But I really have started to see, especially in the last couple of years, a lot of the foodies are reverting back to getting their stuff from the specialty shops, you know?
Yeah, I think that, like we said, business evolves and sometimes it goes backwards in that evolution.
Which is okay.
Sure, sure. You know, you have a standard offering that all the grocery stores will give you.
Yeah.
Whereas more of a niche market like us, we give you every level. You know, the difference is a grocery store's meat distribution might be 15% of his store sales.
Right.
Well, mine is 95%. So from a variety standpoint, you're going to get a lot more offerings from us. You know, our low tier grade of beef is our competitor's high tier.
Yeah.
From that, we'll have three or four levels above that if you need it.
Yeah.
On a Friday, you might want a choice steak, but for Valentine's Day is coming up. We do surf and turf with a prime option and a Wagyu option.
That's right.
So you're going to have options that you just, not only in grade, but in variety.
Yeah.
Tri-tips, hanger steaks. You're just not going to find those most places other than our shop.
So I'll tell you, on Valentine's Day, you better bring me Wagyu.
Sure.
But for those that don't know what Wagyu is, let's tell them.
Sure. It's a breed of cattle.
Yeah.
It originated from the Japanese Kobe. All Kobe beef is Wagyu, but not all Wagyu is raised in the Kobe region. So domestically, prime's a top grade.
Right.
Well, Wagyu is several stages above that. Just texturally starts off more tender. Our biggest selling point on it, if you want to come in the shop, we can have you feel the Wagyu brisket texturally and then feel a prime brisket, and they're night and day.
Yeah.
Even the fat's tender.
And man, the flavor is through the roof, I can tell you that. And it's one of those that the less is better.
Sure.
So, you know, it's some salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, maybe some garlic, maybe some chopped onion. That's it. You know, you're not over marinating it for 2 or 3 days. Sure. You're not having to pound it to tenderize it, you know, and all those things that just absolutely destroy the product by the time you eat it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that. During Christmas, we sell a ton of prime grade prime ribs, and everybody would say, well, what should I put on it? And that we would miss a sale encouraging them, if you have salt, pepper, garlic, you're fine.
That's it.
I've got over 120 spices, but I'd rather you not put it on the prime rib.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, and I go, you know, stuff with the Foodie Life show we do here, and just cooking with friends and stuff, and I will cook meat or fish or something, and it'll come out, and they're like, oh my God, this is the best I've ever. What'd you put on it? It's literally 3 or 4 ingredients. Sure. And I think one of those things as a chef, you get through that phase where more is better, and then you start really learning how to use the food and the product, and you realize that less is probably the best.
Especially, you know, on a good protein. Sure.
Yeah. So, and I forgot about this. You make all those spices, don't you?
Well, we have a guy that packs them for us under our label, and there's 120 plus spices. We get them in about every 10 days. And the difference is they may be a week to 10 days old when he ships them. So, you know, a mass-produced spice in a grocery store, it literally can be 2 years, 2.5 years old. So the quality's okay when it comes out, but the freshness is not there.
Oh, and the flavor's not there. Sure. And there's a noticeable difference if you put two and two together. So I know the sausage guy, which is the Missing Link, uses some of the spice. I can't remember the name of the mix, but it was really, really good. And a couple of the other places I've helped with have used some of those mixes, and I can tell you firsthand, they were way better than the ones that come off the truck.
Well, great.
So, what is your favorite cut of steak?
My favorite is ribeye.
Yeah.
It's the most popular. To me, it's the best because it has the best combination of tenderness and flavor. Not as tender as a filet, but unless you go up to a prime grade of filet, it doesn't have much flavor.
Yeah.
It just lacks the fat.
So. Yeah.
Ribeye is my favorite, the most popular.
It's got all the marbling in it, man. God, I'm getting hungry now just thinking about it. Tell me about, because when you were saying you can let people touch and see the difference, you guys just did this with some of your competitors, right?
We did.
You went and sort of showed everybody what it really should be?
Yeah, we have a fairly active Facebook page, and we've just started posting videos on there. And last week we posted a video, is every choice ribeye the same? We buy what's called upper two-thirds choice. So it's a certified program that guarantees it's in the top tier of the choice. And what we did is we just went subjectively to the two largest competitors, two chain stores in town, and bought a ribeye and a strip from each. And then we visually showed the difference in theirs and ours. And even in just a run-of-the-mill video, you could see a marked difference.
Oh, I believe it. Absolutely. So do you find your customers, are they enjoying the education and really kind of getting it?
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, we have an advantage with that one-on-one interaction, and it's really helped to develop some items that people just aren't familiar with. And oftentimes it's less expensive cuts.
Yeah.
We sell, you know, a tri-tip every day and a hanger steak and Denver steaks, things that people aren't familiar with. And like I said, invariably, they may be considerably less expensive than a ribeye or strip.
Yeah.
So we can save money along the way.
And you'll find out, like a hanger steak, sometimes you find out you really got a new choice that's yours. And I'd never had one probably until I was about 20 years old. And I did, and I've been hooked ever since. So hangers and ribeyes are my two favorite cuts. So, all right. So what do you guys got coming up for Super Bowl, Valentine's Day, all that good stuff?
You know, we'll have some, we run everyday prices. We try to be as competitive on a better quality day in and day out. We'll be announcing some Super Bowl specials in the coming days. But Valentine's, we really, I guess 3 years ago, started with a surf and turf option, a 10-ounce prime ribeye strip or a 6-ounce prime filet.
Yeah.
And a 6-ounce lobster tail for $19.99. Then we offer that same option in the Wagyu grade. It's a little more, of course, at $29. But
it's good.
It is. a guy that my wife works with had a Wagyu ribeye at a local restaurant. Loved it.
Yeah.
And said, "Don't you guys sell that?" She said, "Yeah." Told him how much it was. He said, "Well, that's a third of what I paid last
night." Yeah, I believe it.
And obviously it was cooked, brought to the table.
Sure.
So that surf and turf for Valentine's Day is a pretty strong program for us and seems to be well received.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, one of the other things that I've noticed is that you're at just about every networking or social event that I think I've been to. So I know you guys are huge in the community, and I've competed with Eggfest and stuff too, and I know you're a big supporter of that, but let's tell everybody what you play and what parts.
Sure. We try to stay as active as we can. I'd like to get to a little bit more networking events than I get to. But we try to support the community. We're very heavily involved in kids oriented activities. So I think this year for Eggfest we sponsored
a lot
certificates for the winners.
Yeah.
We try youth teams, things like that. We kind of have a charity of choice currently that the last couple of years we've gotten very heavily involved in, and that's Childhood Cancer Awareness.
Yeah.
There's a local Rally More Than Four Pensacola that Cindy Bonner has started, mm-hmm. and we've really gotten behind that initiative. You know, it's pretty sad anytime anybody gets an illness, but nationally, less than 4% the National Cancer Institute funding goes to childhood cancer research.
Sure.
So it's, pretty,
needs a little kickstart,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it does. It does. So, that's kind of our most heavily supported, event right now that we're backing.
Well, cool, man. Well, we'll see if we can't send some more people your way.
Sure.
So, and I got to say, I've competed in Eggfest since it started. And, I know a lot of people come and get their meat or whatever mystery thing that they're cooking, but I was pretty impressed this year and last year because some of the people had gotten some really cool stuff from you, because it wasn't just meat and it wasn't just chicken. I mean, you guys had duck, you had game, you had all kinds of cool stuff, right?
Yeah. We sell all of that.
Yeah. So I don't think it was this year's. I think it was last year, had some venison stuff, calamari. Yeah. Oh my God. And it was awesome. So thanks for doing that and being part of the community.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, let's send some people to your store. So where are you?
We're 8190 West Fairfield. We're at the corner of Fairfield and Lillian Highway, road that runs, that end of Fairfield runs parallel with Blue Angel. Mm-hmm. So over on the west side, there at the corner. And we're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. And, short of Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, we're open every day.
Yeah. And you got a website?
We don't, actually. We have a very active
Facebook. That'll work.
The Butcher Shop, and shop is spelled S-H-O-P-P-E.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fully functioning, very interactive Facebook page. People can message us questions, orders. We take them that way. You can call us. But the Facebook page is very active. And like I said, we've started sharing some videos on there.
Yeah, which I think is cool, man. Giving them this education on why you really want to choose a butcher to get your product for you. So, and do we miss anything?
I don't think so.
All right. If we did, we can do this again, I promise. Sure. So, well, I want to thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Hang out for a little while, because I think Angela's going to give something away here or something, right? Or get something, right?
Sure.
Well, I can attest that Kevin has, his store does donate. I'm in Civitan, and they donated some meat to us. We went and made dinner for Ronald
you
McDonald House.
Me?
I know, Ronald McDonald House, and he provided, the butcher shop provided the meat. So they are a benevolent company, and I fully support that.
See?
Yes.
We're thankful.
Do good, you get good. Sure. Yes. There you go. All right. So fill us in, because this is pretty cool, and I'm going to let you crack the egg here.
Sure, Keith. This is about giving the gift of music. You can go back through memory lane and enjoy your Barry Manilow concert for free just by donating an instrument.
Yeah.
It can be a gently used instrument or a brand new instrument. and take it starting tomorrow, the 21st through the 26th. Take it to the Rodizio Grill box office at the Bay Center, and they will take care of it, give mm-hmm. you two tickets. Tickets range anywhere from $79 to $149. So you're getting $300 yeah. worth of tickets. That's for an instrument. It is a good deal.
So I got to ask you, are there any parameters, like does size matter? If they're, because I'm assuming some of these are going to go to children of different hand size, you know, whatever.
Yes,
so
we are targeting very past middle school. However, we will take any kind of instrument that is in good working order. We, you know, several of our local music companies are offering deals. I know Blues Angel has is welcoming people to come into their store. They'll work with you. And I know Schmitz Music is offering a discount
yeah.
to anyone who mentions Barry Manilow. So we have two good companies out there.
Local companies.
Right,
too.
Two local companies. Also, you know, how many people have an instrument sticking on a shelf, you know, I'm going to play that again one day.
I do,
going to take lessons. I'll take lessons one day, and it's 18 years yeah. later. You know, we have students. One of our missions in fine art is that in fine arts in Escambia County is that every student can play music if they yeah, want to.
Sure.
Not just the students who can afford to play music.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for you to enjoy a great concert and have put the instrument in the hands of a child who wants to be in band.
Yeah.
We'll take just about any instrument. We will disperse them to Ferry Pass Middle. And if not, if they are too big for them, we will
right.
work with a high school. And if it's a smaller instrument, we do have elementary schools who can use them.
So. Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you, I'm an avid music guy. In fact, I have band practice tonight, as I call it, with a bunch of guys that I play music with. And so I grew up playing guitar and bass and never really got into the drums. But by the time I was old enough, the guitar was the size that it is, right? But my kids play guitar, violin. So one of the things I didn't realize when we bought the first one was how quickly they grow out yes. of them.
You'll know? Go through about three yeah. instruments by the time they're in 12th grade.
Yeah. So you know somebody out there has yes. two that don't fit anymore,
yes.
you know, that you can, it's Barry Manilow. I mean, come on. So what, who thought of this? How did this come about?
This is actually Barry Manilow's idea,
really?
His project. He has the Barry Manilow Music Project he's been doing for years and years. He has started the ball rolling by donating an upright Yamaha piano that will go to Ferry Pass Middle.
Okay. One he's going to play?
We don't know. That I don't know.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
If you're listening, Barry, it should be the one you play.
That would be awesome. That I don't know.
Yeah.
But he has set the example by donating an instrument, and this is something that he does and has been doing for years. I do know that this one last time is his last concert. He will be retiring.
Yeah.
So this is a special and poignant concert.
Yeah. So does he do this in every place he does a show?
Every time wow. he does a show. And he's been doing it for years and years.
Wow. Yes. I had no idea. I never knew that about
millions
him.
Millions of instruments and money toward music education.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of wow. awesome.
So, you know, I'm blown away, first of all, the generosity, too, the absolute genius of this, because it's a great way to get people to see the show
yeah.
and then get some music in the kids' hands. But
right.
I know this is not the only way that you guys work. So is there other times that people can donate, or is there other resources that they can do to get music into the schools?
Oh, yes. On our Fine Arts District website, Escambia County Fine Arts, you can go there. There's a place that tells you how to donate instruments. I know just in the last month, we've had two pianos donated.
Very cool.
And you know, have put those in two schools. We had one school literally had a keyboard that was duct taped together. And she had it sitting on a
sounds a like my band
yes,
room.
A bookshelf. That was her
yeah.
her piano
yeah.
with 600 students. Now she has a beautiful $1,000 piano that someone donated when a loved one passed away.
Yeah.
So
walk me through the process of donating a piano, because okay. it's not really like you roll it through the front door, right?
just give us a call at the fine yeah. arts department, and we will
work it out.
We work with our local Dollar Hides.
Yeah.
We work with them to get it tuned and assessed so that you can get a tax deduction, you know,
yeah.
And we get it moved, find the right teachers who need it and get it to the students.
Yeah, get it where it needs to
yeah.
be.
But so most, yeah.
Do you get a tax deduction with this one as well, with the Barry Manilow one?
You should.
Okay.
Yes. You should be able to count that off on your taxes.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not a CPA, so don't take any of that advice from me. That was literally just a question.
No, if that's we actually last year we collected over 120 instruments for Warrington Middle School here in our district, and everyone who donated, we sent them a letter, a tax deductible letter, so they could count that off on their taxes.
Very cool.
Now, we had one person who lived in Atlanta. She's from Pensacola. She drove from Atlanta to Pensacola, went to a music store, local music store, bought nine brand new instruments, took them to Warrington Middle, delivered them, and then drove back to Atlanta because it was so important to her to put music in our students' hands.
Absolutely.
So we know you guys are out there.
Yep, that's right. The angels in the midst, right?
Yes.
So, okay, so Fairy Pass is getting help this time.
Right.
How does that work? I mean, is there like a list of who's next kind of thing, or is it just you make a phone call?
We look at where the greatest need is and who has been helped in the past, you know, who is about to be helped. I know we will, starting in March, which is Music and Education. Yes, Music and Education Month. I had to stop there a moment. Yeah. We will be starting a community drive for March through August for Bellevue Middle.
Okay.
So we're purposely targeting this particular school.
Okay. So for the community drive again, they'll just come and drop it off there, or
drop it off
some other spots around town.
Drop it off at the Bay Center. You can also call the Fine Arts Department. School. Yes, for the Barry Manilow, drop it off at the Rodizio Bay Center.
Okay. What about the next one?
We will be doing it all over town.
Okay,
we'll
you
be
can
sending
put a box
information.
Here. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, we'd be
absolutely.
Happy to put a box here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a lot of people coming
That's
in and
awesome.
Out, so we can tell them.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so what else do you guys got coming up? I mean, if we're playing all this music, you got to have a concert or something, right?
Oh, gosh, we have concerts all the time. We actually just had 16 students who went down to Allstate competition Tampa. I know we had two students who made first chair for the entire Florida, you know, all of Florida. For the Allstate concert, which was amazing.
So, what does it mean to be first chair? I know what it means,
the
but
best,
they don't. They don't
the
know
the very
it means.
Best player. If there are 10 players,
you're
chair
sitting
number
in front,
one
I know that,
is the
right?
one that's closest to the audience because you're the best player, so they're going to hear you first.
Yeah, and they're always the one that stands up and gets the applause, right? Like when you see the symphony
concert,
and stuff.
The concert master will be the student in an orchestra who stands up first.
Yep.
Yes. We also have All County Orchestra next week on the 26th, and that's going to be at the Sanger Theater. So all of our students who are the elite best players in our orchestra programs throughout the school district, they will be giving a wonderful concert at the Sanger Theater next
that's
week.
That's cool. So they all play in their schools, and then they've got some time either after school or however that works. And
they make time
they
because
all come
it's so
together,
important.
Right?
These students, music is such an such a part of their lives. They'll come together in the evenings for practice for several weeks and master this difficult music. It's challenging.
I never learned it. Mine was ear. And I mean, guitar was cool, but reading it, I still couldn't do, you know? So when I see my children do this, I'm like, it's all Greek to me, first of all. And I'm completely impressed at how they can translate it and do it all in real time.
Well, we have such wonderful music educators, especially our band directors who can, they instill this love for music, and there's a work ethic they teach our children. You know, there's discipline, just these skills they're going to be able to use later in life, no matter what they major in. But that love for music comes from really learning a discipline and self-discipline. It takes a lot of time for these students to master these skills, and they're so busy they get out, they're not in trouble.
Yeah.
That's why we're so excited about this Barry Manilow project, because it's going to target our students who can't afford to get instruments and get them in a program that can keep them in school. I know Mr. Thomas recently did a project where he did data where he showed that the way we keep our students in school is our extracurricular activities like fine arts and
things that keep them interested.
Yes, that's what keeps them in school and keeps the graduation rate up.
Yeah. So mom and dad, get some earphones and let your kids practice every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Because grandma did not like the violin sound. I loved it, even when the note was off. But it was, you know, and you just have to have patience for that. Of course, now she's kicking butt at it. So I'm actually listening to it. The earplugs have come out. And I grew up playing music, and we were loud and rock and roll. So there was no saving it. You were going to hear it. So, do you have any kids that play music in school still? Or?
My children are all grown, but three of them do play music.
They do. Yes. What do they play?
Banjo, harmonica, awesome. Guitar. I have a daughter who plays bass.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, I love the banjo and the harmonica, and I've never been able to do that either, although I am full of a lot of hot air. So you're supposed to laugh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the ones that went down to the competition, are they done or do they have more to go?
They are done for now. We actually have music performance assessments coming up in our secondary. That would be choral and band. Instrumental, and those students' music performance assessment is a very difficult.
It's a trial and tribulation.
Yes, it is. Basically, the students are performing in front of either single judges or up to three judges, and every little thing is looked at very carefully and
which can sometimes
pulled
be
apart.
More pressure than playing in front of thousands of people.
But it also validates what they've learned.
Yeah.
And it helps them get to that next level of excellence. And I know that's something our band directors are really good about. They go back and reflect with the students. Hey, look where we did.
Yeah.
Look how far we came to get here. Now, where are we going together?
Yeah.
And I love that.
Very cool. Okay. So did we miss anything? What else going on?
I don't think so.
Do you want to mention Tate Band and their plans for next December?
Yes, Tate Band.
Yes, she does.
Yes, I do. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. That is true. Tate Band is on a big fundraising quest. They are going to be going to Hawaii to perform. You have to help me out, Kim. I know why you're going.
Yeah, it's the December 7th anniversary. Next year will be the 75th.
And for Pearl Harbor, huh?
Yes.
Very cool.
Jazz Band has gone out to the Aviation Museum for years on December 7th, mm-hmm. and they submitted an application.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember now if it was 8 or 12. Somewhere in there, a certain mm-hmm. number of schools sure. across the country have a chance to send their band, and they'll be able to perform at the Arizona.
Wow. Memorial.
Yes.
Very cool.
It is very cool.
That'll be, what an honor.
And what a great memory those kids will have.
Yeah,
they'll never
Hawaii,
forget
how,
that.
I have been, by the way, so, you
they
know.
They will never
but
forget
if you
performing.
See them
there.
Anywhere with a handshake, offering to play for music, anything. Yeah. Please help them out because it's a big, big endeavor to take that many kids.
Yes, it is.
Very cool.
And their instruments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It does not fit in the carry-on anymore, by the
way.
That's true. So, okay, well, let's give everybody your website again so if they want any more information.
Sure. And you can just Google Escambia County Fine Arts. We have a Facebook page, Escambia County Fine Arts also. And Twitter is A Barberry.
There we go. Yeah. Okay, so if you've got something for Barry Manilow, take it down to the box office at the Civic Center, the Radizio Grip.
You're right, Radizio Grill.
Okay, and then...
And not the restaurant.
Yes.
Right. Although, you know what, who knows?
You're going to go to the butcher shop.
Exactly, yeah. If you bring one to Kevin, I'm sure he'll turn it in for you. Absolutely. So, okay, and then the
Does
next
Kevin
one...
Kevin have tickets?
Well, if somebody brings him an instrument, he might go have tickets. or you can at least direct him too. And they get two tickets, right?
Yes, they get two
tickets.
It's worth about $300.
Wow.
Yes, just for donating an instrument and putting it in the child's hand.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. And then after this one comes the next school. We're going to have a box here.
Sounds great. I will bring you a box, Keith.
And we will talk about it and let people know.
Yes.
Awesome.
I will bring the band director with me if you want to.
You know what? That would be fine with me. He can come on and tell us what's going on.
She
can come on and tell us what's going on, and we'll make it happen. Might even play a gig.
Maybe.
It's got to be by ear, though, because I can't read it.
Maybe your band could go there.
Oh, you don't want us there. No. We're not that good yet. Okay, you guys, well, I want to thank all of you for coming in and sharing your time and story.
Do we have time to mention real quick?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, we have something a little different. We have a program called Positive Behavior Support, now Positive Behavior Intervention Support, PBIS. They've added a new letter in there. It's got to have the alphabet going. Anyway, we're having an event tomorrow night called Educators Got Talent.
Okay.
And they are all from schools that have a PBS program. So all ticket collections tomorrow is $5 to get in. All that money will then be divvied up between the 25 schools to help them fund these positive behavior programs that are incentive programs. They're a fun field day, or they might be a place where you can earn, every school has a different name for it, whether it's loot or bucks or whatever.
Right.
And you do something, you get caught doing something good, you get one of those, and then later you can take it to the store and buy something fun. All of those things that they buy, of course, has to come from somewhere.
Sure.
So it's a fundraising event. Should be a lot of fun as well. There are about 10 acts performing, all musical. Couple
all
bonus,
teachers.
And all teachers.
Yeah.
These are
very
all,
cool.
All teachers stepping out on stage
yeah.
in front of their peers and taking a chance.
So well, if anyone wants but they to also join have us, really good
night.
Skill level too. So I mean, this is going to be some really neat
There's,
stuff.
I got to hear about 5 acts the other night, and I'm glad I'm not a judge because I would not want to have to pick. But it starts. The performance part starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in the auditorium at Booker T. Washington. It's $5 to get in. If you come a little early, there's a chance to buy dinner. There's going to be a silent auction with some donated materials,
sure.
things like that. It's the first time they've done it, so they're really nervous, and they're really hoping people will come out and support it. And please, you know, come on by if you have a chance.
Yeah, so we can tell them break a leg, right? That's good. That'll work.
Except for Steve Harrell, who's one of our teachers, who's doing a bonus performance of juggling. We do not
okay, don't
to.
Break your leg. No. Just juggle, right?
Yes, and there's something with a kayak in his act. I don't know what, but hopefully that will intrigue people. A juggler with a kayak.
And a bowling ball. I saw
and
a bowling
ball. And
he
said something ball. About blades.
All right. Okay. Kayaks, bowling ball.
Any
yeah.
child who's uh-huh. gone to Brown, who went used to go to Brown Barge like mine, know Mr. Harrell
yeah.
for his juggling. There was.
Is his insurance policy up to date?
Yeah, well, he's with us, so hopefully, yeah. When my daughter was there, he could juggle, and a student came along who could ride a unicycle.
Oh, cool.
And so they cross-trained. And would ride unicycles and juggle.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, there's some great talent out there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I may have to come and check that out tomorrow.
Please do.
You know, I've never seen a kayak and juggling at the same time. So, I don't know. Kevin, maybe we'll cook some steaks
sure.
and we'll go over, right? We'll
yeah.
go hang out. So, all right, you guys, you can find us at Pecola Radio X or on Facebook at Pecola BRX. Or on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. I want to thank all of you again for coming in. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.